Well, God morning to you. I say God morning. Most say good. But we're reminded of the scripture wherein Jesus said, there is none good but God. Therefore, I bid you a God morning or a God day. And welcome back to the God School. I don't know how long this message is going to be. If you're listening on shortwave, if we go over the allotted time, you can go to thegodschool.com on the internet and not only hear today's message, but 17 years of messages, unedited, out there, to be heard, not to be corrected or restrained, because we teach God's word, that His word might be manifest to those to whom God has given ears and ears to hear and eyes that they might see God and Jesus Christ, His Son, and come to an understanding that God is in control, that your faith might continue, and not only continue, but be strengthened. Now, with that, I want to go to a psalm of David. King James actually says it's a prayer of David, and I'm with King James on this. It is a prayer. It's a prayer that each and every one of us can pray, and with that, David, whom God called a man after his own heart, opens his prayer and says, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Now, we do not have context or a time when David prayed this prayer. I believe it could have been any time in his life. It could be any time in my life. It could be any time in your life. So let's continue. David says, preserve my soul, for I am holy. Wow. That causes me to pause. It caused me to pause when I was studying it. I went to a commentary on this. And I'll just, on this statement, for I am holy. This comes from a commentary by a man by the name of Barnes, whom I really enjoy his commentaries. First thing he says, for I am holy, margin notes, one whom thou favorest. You know, we taught last week on that state of blessedness of the man whose strength is in God and in whose ways are the heart of God. And we said, privileged recipient of God's favor. This is a witness, one whom thou favorest. The Hebrew word is chesed. It means properly benevolent, kind, then good, merciful, gracious, and then pious and godly. Barnes goes on to say, the ground of the plea here is that he was a friend of God, and that it was proper on that account to look to him for protection. He does not say that he was holy in such a sense that he had a claim on that account to the favor of God, or that his personal holiness was a ground of salvation, but the idea is that he devoted himself to God. And that it was therefore proper to look to him for his protection in the time of danger. A child looks to a parent for protection because he is a child. A citizen looks to the protection of the laws because he is a citizen, and so the people of God may look to him for protection because they are his people. In all this, there is no plea of merit, but there is a recognition of what is proper in the case and what may be expected and hoped for. Preserve my soul, for I am holy, O my God. Save thy servant that trusts in thee. Be merciful unto me. You know, mercy is something that is given to one who needs mercy, like grace. We need, and we have, because of the relationship, God's grace, unmerited favor. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. There's a marginal note said, all the day. Rejoice, the soul of thy servant. For unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. Plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. This has to do with humble pleadings, not demands, but humble requests. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither Are there any works like unto thy works? All nations, whom thou hast made, who made the nations? God. All nations, whom thou hast made, shall come and worship before me. There is a day coming, I guess. That's what this word proclaims, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great, and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Think on that. Some religions have thousands of gods. Some have one. Some have Jehovah alone. Some claim something other than Jehovah alone. This is this 11th verse I want to spend some time on. It says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. A couple of things I want to point out. So, in several verses previous to this 11th verse, we find the word Lord in it. And in the King James, it's capital L, small o, R, D. The word in the Hebrew is Adonai. But when David gets down to it and he supplicates humbly to God, now he says, teach me thy way, O Lord. It's capital L-O-R-D. And whenever you see that in the King James Bible, it is the English translation of Jehovah, the self-existent one, alone. God, alone. So, that's the first thing about this 11th verse. It starts out by saying, teach. The word is yarah in the Hebrew, and it means to point, like with a finger, to direct. To inform, to show. So he's asking God to point him in the right direction. And that wonderful verse in Proverbs, I believe it's the 3rd chapter, where it says, acknowledge the Lord in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy paths. Folks, I'm trying to relay this wonderful personal relationship that God's people should be having with him and are having with him, and he, God, with us. Teach me thy way. Dered, is the word. It's a way, it's a journey. It's a well-trodden road. God's been there before. And this word way in the New Testament, we have God's only beloved Son, Jesus Christ, saying, I am the way. The answer 1,000 years before, when David, who did not know Christ Jesus, he says, teach me thy way. But the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed the Old Testament, or the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Jesus, teach me, point the way, direct me, inform me, show me the way. Jesus said, I am the way. You should underline these words: teach, way, walk, truth, unite, heart, fear. What's the next word? Walk in thy truth. The Hebrew word is emet. It's a derivative of the word amen. And how often have we said this word amen is not a, how do we describe it? A hope. You know, people say, amen, thy will be done. No, it's amen, it's no doubt, teach me. I will walk, march more and more in thy truth. And in this study, I went to the Septuagint version, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures. It's done about 200 years before the birth of Christ. By the time Jesus comes on the scene, it is the scripture of authority. Jesus reads not from the Hebrew scrolls, but from the Septuagint. And in the Septuagint, this word, wherein David had prayed, I will walk in thy truth, is aletheia, which is truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth, and the synonym for truth is reality. When God speaks a thing, it is, whether we see it or not, his word that he has spoken. And God is careful about what he speaks, because he knows when he speaks it, it is. And I will walk in thy reality. It says, unite my heart. Unite. It means to be or become one. Does this not ring with virtually all of the Apostle Paul's epistles to the churches, wherein he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace, Irene. It means to be set together again. Unite my heart. Unite my understanding. For with the heart, man believes. And with the mouth, he makes declaration unto salvation. Let me become one in heart to fear thy name. Now, look. I was raised in a religion that really did teach a lot of fear of God. But this Hebrew word is yare, and in the Hebrew language, there can be multiple meanings for the same word. Now, I'm going to put it on a human level. You know, the best relationship between a father and son or daughter is one wherein the Father, through his persona, elicits reverence. The child comes to understand that the Father has the best interests of the child in mind and will bring it to pass, and the child trusts the Father and what the Father's looking for from the child is trust. There's a passage in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32, 38th verse says, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart that they might understand, and one way, Jesus, that they may, King James translation, that they may fear me forever? No! That they would revere They would always have reverence for God. God's not looking for people walking around trembling at his presence. But through understanding with joy at his presence, and I will give them one heart, understanding in one way, Jesus, that they may revere me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. I will praise thee, David goes on to say, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forever. Wow. You know, so many writers of this book, yet one theme continues to come out. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them. They're not aware of God. God has not given them a heart of understanding. God has not given them ears to hear. God has not given them sight to see light. In fact, the God of this world has blinded their eyes. But thou, O Lord, God, full of compassion, that is, with passion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Oh, turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thy handmaid. I think that is a recognition of the relationship between his earthly mother and God. We can learn a lot from our mothers. And well, let's just continue. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. You know, we teach the word here and the relationship that we are having with God, that we walk by faith, not by sight. I think here David is not asking for himself for a token, but that those who hate him might see a token for good from God, and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, has helped me and has comforted me. So David puts his requests that God might hear his prayer. He submits his humble supplications, or his supplications with humility, to God. He declares his confidence in Jehovah, his praise with all his understanding of God, his witness that God has helped him. I don't care what the circumstance you today may find yourself in, if you have heard this prayer, and it listens, elicits any response of understanding, and confidence in our Father and in his word, you, like me, can say, thou, Jehovah, has helped me. And comforted me. I'd like to add some current news to this 3,000-year-old prayer of David, a man after God's own heart. But I'll just leave it at this. For we shall see the goodness and mercy, the long suffering, compassion, graciousness, and plenteous mercy and truth in our God, our Father, and his word. And that is the God School for today.